Israel, from the Camp David Agreement, has been attempting, or at least from its 1967 onward, attempting to secure its immediate borders with the Arab states. And prior to this uprising in Egypt, its southern border is secured from sides of Egypt. Its eastern border is secured by its agreement from Jordan. Its West Bank area has been secured by their relationship with the Palestinian Authority. Their Syrian border has been almost silent because they reached an understanding with the Syrians that they are in a state of war, but Syria will not allow any attacks to occur. The only border that was still active is the Lebanese border, and a number of times Israel attempted to make a game changer in there, and they are still working on trying to bring a game changer in there, and so far they've been frustrated by a variety of initiatives in Lebanon. The opening of, or the change in the strategic relationship on their southern border with Egypt changes their strategic position vis-a-vis the region. And if the Jordanian structure likewise is pressured, it reopen and reactivate the borders that Israel felt were secured for the longest period, and its strategic position of strategic security depth in the broader Arab world has been reshaped in a matter of a 2 weeks period. Their gas imports are under considerable pressure. Their trade relations with the broader Arab and Muslim world is under strain because Egypt has allowed the Israeli economy to integrate into its economy through their privatization, and therefore that infrastructure is all will come into stress and challenge, regardless of how we move forward. So Israel is have to recalculate its strategic position. And I think tomorrow Israel's strategic position is weaker than its strategic position just a month ago, and they realize that. What Israel would possibly attempt to do is to use the international community in the form of the United States and the UN, the European Union, to try to mount pressure, not only on Egypt, but other Arab countries. And I think in here we need to watch and be cognizant of how the European Union, and in particular each of the states in the European Union, how would they mobilize their political, diplomatic, and economic muscle to try to force certain concessions from the governments to come. And I think there will be a variety of ways. One, I think Egypt does have a foreign debt. And I would expect the European Union and the United States through the IMF and the World Bank and the WTO to try to put pressure on how this debt is serviced, either to facilitate ease or pressure to get the Egyptian government that is coming, even if it comes through revolutionary means, it still had to feed its people, and therefore we tighten the screws on them through the economic process. Second, in terms of the political bodies, whether it's the United Nations or the multilateral bodies, I think there'll be pressure that Israel will try to use its relations with the U.S. first and foremost and the European Union to also mount a political pressure. One is to maintain the peace treaty and all the elements that are included in the peace treaty in such a way to maintain Egypt's neutrality in the overall Palestine-Israel conflict. How successful Israel will be depends both on the political movements in these countries, but also on the broader civil society in the world, in the United States and in Europe. And I think there has to be a call for the civil society in the European Union and in the United States to actually not surrender the gains that people have achieved in the streets in closed rooms and political pressures to negotiate away the freedoms and the liberties that people have gained by sacrificing and putting themselves in danger to gain a sense of sovereignty over their, not only over their own country, but over their own decisions going forward. And I think in the civil society, and this is something that I would like them to do, is to take their governments to account. Because we knew how Mubarak was, And we facilitated his political rise and his political move toward a complete dictatorship. And we thought that this was the sign of stability. And therefore, we have to hold those individuals responsible. We have to hold the British responsible, the French responsible, the Germans responsible, the Italians, the Americans responsible, because it seems that we ride a dictator for 30 years, we take him as meat, and then once his people no longer are satisfied, nor they have the ability to survive, we throw him as bone and we send them to exile in some other countries. I actually recommend the European country to take Mubarak for his retirement. You had him for 30 years. You should actually open your country to take him for his retirement. Take Pinochet and take all these individuals that you have, because if they were good for you for 30 years and not good for their people, you should have the courage and the honesty of, one, apologizing to the Egyptian people, which no one has yet apologized, and second, to take him to retirement and put him in one of the museums as a sign of how dictators that we support, right, and what they do, and put a museum for the outcomes of dictatorship and the outcomes of pursuing national interests without moral compass. And I think that's what we need to be asking. The civil society has an important role to play at this particular time, both in the United States and in European countries.